This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? And we are presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Because it works, visit EMP180.com and you can get empowered. Later in the program, John Clayton will join us. We'll go around the NFL with him. That's at 9:40. But joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, legendary sports columnist for the Boston Globe, it's Bob Ryan. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hello, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
And shocker, you and the Patriots are in this position again. What's it like to cover a team like this that just continues to defy sort of all logic? This was supposed to be the year that they were down.
Well, then when they were 2-2, they didn't look very good, and there were other games along the way when they didn't look very good, and I certainly didn't project them into the circumstance that they're in. They did get incrementally better, particularly on defense. The defense is much more reliable than it was earlier in the season, and they seem to have figured it out as well on other aspects of offense. Put it this way. Everyone wants to be in a position in any sport going into a playoff, postseason, playing your best. They're coming off now their best game of the year last week, without any question. That was the best two-way performance that they had all season last week against the Chargers. So they have to be feeling pretty good about themselves. Mm.
What I can't figure out is why defenses can't stop James White. Like, don't they know Brady's going to throw him out of the backfield?
I mean, doesn't he yeah, play 10 times? Yeah.
14 catches is a lot. I agree. He is a very important weapon. It's funny you mention that because in the middle, I'd say two-thirds of the way through the season, there was a concern that he wasn't being used enough. That was one of the narratives of going into a game late in the year, was they got to get back to using James White. And they have, as you noticed.
Well, but they also, you know, as we notice, they passed him 14 times. I think he had zero carries that game,
zero.
Right? So, I mean, isn't that a huge tell? He's in there. They're just going to pass to him.
Well, but guess what? That was last week. And you know that they're known for their chameleon-like way that they can reinvent themselves week to week.
Right.
That's a calling card of the New England Patriots throughout this almost two decades that they've been, you know, who they are. So that's one of the things they do. And then next week, he's liable to gain 100 yards on the ground this week. You never know.
Well, then you combo that with Sony Michel, and he's been really good, almost 1,000 yards this year. He was really good last week. Edelman has got great hands. Gronk even made a couple plays. He looks like he's 70 years old, but he still made a couple plays.
He blocks amazingly well.
But if you're going to sit back, Bob, you know this. If you're going to sit back and only rush four and play that dumbass zone that Anthony Lynn was playing, he is going to just carve you up. So I would.
That was his big narrative on Monday morning, is that when you play a cover three like that and you give Brady those opportunities, historically he has ripped people up. I mean, what we have seen before, and you have to assume that we will see nothing like it on Sunday. The Chiefs will not be playing that kind of a beat me with me kind of defense because there's no way you can beat Brady if you're going to give him those opportunities.
Yeah, but Brady and the Patriots had success earlier this season. I mean, scored a ton of points against this Kansas City Chiefs defense.
Yeah, they did, and they're better too. You know, these teams are each better than they were, and my takeaway from that game, which was back on October 14th during the World Series, is that the Chiefs, they lost, but they went away thinking, we can beat these guys. Mm-hmm. We know we can beat these guys, and I think that's the attitude they'll take into Sunday's game.
Yeah, what concerns you about the Chiefs? Just the home field manager?
The number one concern, other than the fact that the quarterback is a borderline ridiculous. He's like a personal video game and makes plays out of nothing, and you get him out of pocket, and then he's more dangerous than he's in, and all that, and the fact he can beat Patriots. Two 75-yard touchdown receptions. He's ridiculously scary. Williams has done okay. And of course, Kelce has taken over from Gronk as the premier pass catching tight end. I know Kettle's had more catches, but I think if you put them all on the open market today, the number one tight end would be Kelce.
Does Andy Reid have to win a Super Bowl to get in the Hall of Fame?
That's going to depend on who those 36 people are whenever his name first comes up, and that'll be then. I would say it would sure help. If he does, there won't be any issue.
Right.
If he doesn't, there'll be an issue. It shouldn't be an issue. I think his body of work is good enough to warrant being in there.
Bob, you touched on Gronk there. How many effective years do you think he has left? How much shelf life in Gronk? Because the injuries seem like
we could be seeing. He flirted with retirement last year, and if we believe the story that he was going to be traded to the Lions, and he told them flat out, he told Belichick flat out, if you trade me, I'm retiring. If you could believe that, and based on what we saw from him this year, I do believe that. It's conceivable that if they lose on Sunday, that could be the last time you'll see Rob Gronkowski play football.
Wow. Hmm.
Is he still enjoying it? Does he still have sort of that same joy on his face?
I think he's frustrated. The body is... He's beaten up, and he's had three back surgeries. He's had ankle. Every time he goes out there, some DB, little DB that can't tackle him legally, appropriately, might go for his knees. I think he's beaten down. Now, you mentioned the blocking. I'm glad you did. He was a tremendous blocker last week.
Mm-hmm.
He was very instrumental with that offensive line, in that offensive line that enabled Michelle to have the big day he had. He can still do that. And he did have that one signature Gronk play that you alluded to. He caught the ball and dragged half of America 10 yards down the field.
Right.
That's the old Gronk. But he used to be able to do that all game long, and it seems that maybe he's got one of those day in him.
Right. Tom, I didn't realize this. I'm sure it was reported, but I didn't realize it. He was dealing with an MCL strain for 4 or 5 weeks there. Is that accurate?
He's we never know. Hey, man, you're talking about the Patriots.
Right.
You're talking about trying to find out information.
Right.
Now you're talking about finding out information about the most important player.
Right.
We find out a lot of things after the fact around here.
Yeah.
All right. So, Bob, I hate to go to the weather angle because it's football and it's January, and there's a lot of cold games, obviously, in January. But, the coldest game ever is the Ice Bowl in 67, Packers-Cowboys. It was minus 13. Wind chill at minus 36. I can't even fathom that. But this could be wind chill in the minuses as well. The coldest game that Mahomes has ever played in was when they played in Baltimore. It was 27 degrees. And Tom Brady's played in a million of these cold games. Who does it affect more in your mind?
Well, logically speaking, you just stated a fact, which is that Brady has shown he can deal with it, and Mahomes has to prove that he can. And I'm putting nothing past that young man. But clearly, we don't worry much about how Brady's going to perform. Obviously, he's so. Going back to the original Tuck Rule game that launched their whole, era.
Mm-hmm.
I won't use that D word because I don't believe in it. But the era started with the Tuck Rule, and that was a legitimate snowstorm game, and he was impervious to those elements then. But I don't think it's going to be a major factor overall. I think Kansas City is quite capable of playing in the snow. But we know Brady's going to be get out of himself what he can. But everything I've seen from Mahomes so far, I'm not putting anything past him.
Well, it's not going to be snowing. It's just going to be really cold.
Yeah, it's just going to be cold.
Yeah.
I know that. It's going to be cold. We'll see. He's from, he's got a Southwest background, and this isn't something he's used to. We know that. So maybe it'll be a factor,
now,
but I'm not going to put a lot of stock in it.
Will you be at the game or in your warm living
room? No, I'll be with my friends. We have a rotating group of friends that host the game. It's funny. It started out, let's get together for the Super Bowl. And then it was, well, how about the playoffs? And then it was every big game, and now it's every week.
Nice.
No, seriously,
that's
what it's become, a ritual around here. And to see this town go from where it was in 1983, when there were 18,000 season ticket holders and a stadium that seated 61, to where we are now, which is as much a football town as anybody right now. That's the most incredible transformation in all the years I've been in Boston.
By the way, what's your take on the Redskins? Because
we've gone the opposite
direction.
We've
been doing this show since 1996, okay? And pretty much since then, it has gone the exact opposite way, to the point that at the last game of the season, it was probably 90% Eagles fans at the stadium. They couldn't even sell out their home opener. And this was once a team that won 3 Super Bowls in a decade.
I will put it this way. You know, we have a thing in government and in real estate called eminent domain, where the government can take private property. There should be a sports eminent domain so you can have a citizen revolt that receives that team from its current owner. I think that would be a good start. It's shocking to me. I lived through that era, as a writer and as a fan, and I'm well aware of the fervor. In fact, I had family for a time who lived in Silver Spring.
Right.
So I had a grandson with a Kuskluwe jersey, and I understand what you're saying. It's sad, and it's wrong. And you know, you just wish you could do something about it, but you are powerless as a fan, other than voting with your rear end by putting it somewhere other than in the stadium. It's too bad, and it shouldn't be.
But it doesn't even matter.
There's so much TV money.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter.
I mean, because they're not going. They haven't been going for years.
It's embarrassing, but I don't know. Maybe he's beyond embarrassment. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he is beyond embarrassment. I mean, they're bringing back Bruce Allen again. They actually promoted him, and his record is awful as a GM or whatever his title is.
Yeah, well, just the opposite. If you grew up around here, if you're 20 years old, and you know nothing else but the success that they've enjoyed. And obviously,
nice.
If you're 20 years old growing up in the greater D.C. area, you think that
life's awesome.
6-10 is worth a parade.
Right. 4 World Series too, and since
4 World Series, we've got 11 times the 11 parades since 2002 when the Patriots first won their first. We've had we're the only city in America that's won all 4 major sports during the 21st century. Did it in a 7-year period from 2004 to 11. It's crazy. It's almost unfair to America.
And when your teams struggle, it's like the Celtics. Okay. They're not playing as well as people expected, but I watched them last night, big game against the Raptors. Kyrie went off, had 15 assists, hit a couple big shots down the stretch, and that is kind of the struggling team in Boston, right?
They are struggling. Yeah, right, they are. They're, right now, that's true. They're the most underachieving team in the entire NBA. They did put a game together last night, and we'll see. They have been a tease for us this year thus far. They have had games like that followed up by some really inexplicably bad play, but that was Kyrie was tremendous. Kyrie versus Leonard, that's the NBA. That's the superstardom of the NBA, what the lore of the NBA is, what you saw in that fourth quarter last night, because it was, my turn, your turn, and those two guys were fantastic.
All right, so before we let you go, we covered the Pats Chiefs. I'm sure you'll be watching the game before that. 3:05 kick, Rams Saints in New Orleans, rematch of the 45-35 game earlier in the year. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm part of the conventional wisdom. I like the Saints at home. I think what I was saying about the Patriots playing their best now, I think the Rams have peaked. That's just a gut feeling. I thought they peaked a while back, and Goff leveled off. I know he came back and threw 4 TDs the last day of the week, the season, game of the year, but it happened to be against the 49ers. So you got to like the Saints at home. I think it's the most in fact, the two teams that are home are 2 of 3 best notorious home field advantages in football, Seattle being the third. So I got to like the Saints. There's nothing not to like, the two-headed monster in the backfield. And by the way, in the discussion about who might be the greatest of all our current wide receivers in an era of incredible wide receivers, Mr. Thomas made quite a statement last week, I thought. Mike Thomas was just scarily good last week.
He's great.
So they got a lot of weapons. And their defense is the best defense they probably ever had.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Bob. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, good, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bob Ryan.
Pats and Saints.
It reminds me of, I can't remember, a year ago, I saw, maybe 2 years ago, a picture of a kid on a Boston subway holding a sign, and he couldn't have been more than 60 or 70 years old, a sign that said, "This is my 15th championship parade."
Right.
Bob's right. If you're 20 or 25 years old in Boston, that's all you know. All you know is success and winning and piling up titles left and right.
I don't know anything about the Bruins, but just look at this year. Just this year.
Yeah.
Red Sox.
Right.
The Patriots are in the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. And the Celtics, chalk it up. They're going to get to they may not get to the NBA Finals, but they'll get to the Eastern Conference Finals. So they have three teams in the Final Four.
They're spoiled up there. What are you going to do?
Do the Bruins suck?
The Bruins suck. Third in the Atlantic.
They don't suck. I think they're always in the mix.
They're always in the mix.
They're 1 point behind the Maple Leafs, and they're both a bunch of points behind Tampa Bay.
But think about that. All four of their major sports won a championship in a 7-year period.
Right. It's ridiculous. Can't relate. It's outrageous.
Hey, can't relate. We were in a parade. We had a parade.
Yeah.
We did have
a parade.
Happy
with the Caps win. Happy with the Stanley Cup.
I think that parade might be on YouTube. We could just watch it over and over and over. We'll probably never get another one. We just keep watching it.
By the way, no way did I ever expect Bob Ryan to be dumped on this show.
No, that was great.
Hey, it was raw.
I thought I was safe to poop.
Valdez actually wasn't behind the board, and Dravy had to scramble and run around to find the dump button.
Yep.
That's actually happened to us before, where we've only had one producer. And someone cursed, and we didn't know how to hit the dump button. I think I ran around years ago and tried to hit it. But, I don't even know what it is. I wouldn't even know where it is.
No,
how would we know?
We should probably find out.
Yeah. We've been saying that in a pinch.
In an emergency.
If he missed it, he's scared. he's scared of Tyreek Hill.
Scared as poop.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
All right, that was the great Bob Ryan. Remember, later in the show, John Clayton's going to join us. He'll join us at 9:40 right here on The Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Remember, you can join three of the junkies, SanDB, B-Cakes, Bish, JP, at the one and only sportsbook, Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, this Sunday, kicking off at 1 o'clock. We'll hang out, preview the games, play some wagers. We hope you can join us.
I'm going to try and get there early at about 12, 15-ish.
Okay.
Play a couple shoes of blackjack.
Okay, smart.
And hopefully I hit a couple hot ones.
Yeah.
And whatever I win, let's just say I win, $300.
Yep.
I'm using that as
all
to place
the sports
my
You're going to press it.
Yeah. Now, if I lose at blackjack, I'll be salty.
You have to dig into your pocket.
Then I'll have to go into the pocket, and then I'll
have to
be
a squeaker.
Do you know what you're going to bet already?
On the NFL?
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Patriots and the Saints.
Huh.
I might tease them. But there'll be college hoops, too, so I'll probably play a couple college hoops games. But in the NFL games, I think I'm going to play Pats and Saints, yeah.
Are we going to turn $5 into like $100K, like the guy with the 15-leg parlay?
Maybe what I'll do is just whatever I win, I'll just put it on a parlay and just F it. Just put the whole thing up on a parlay.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Why wouldn't I do,
do you know what you should do?
$5 or $10 parlay for 10 games. Why wouldn't I grasp?
All of you should pick a game and then you'll throw in cash and then do a little junkies parlay and then see who ruins it.
I like that. So what, we each do a three gamer?
Each of you throw in $20.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. And then each of you pick a game.
All right.
All right. And then hopefully it hits, and then you can split up the big cash.
And we all celebrate.
Yeah.
Or we goof on whoever's pick. Yeah.
John and JP's hurting NBA pick.
Yeah.
Somewhere. No, I'll probably lose it. I mean, my gut instinct tells me Pats and Saints, but I'm sure one of them will go down.
All right, let's bounce some of these calls. Soap and Line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. Let's go to, I always want to say Ahmed, but is it Ahmed?
I'm guessing it's Ahmed, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Is it Ahmed?
Hey, good morning, guys. It's Ahmed.
You were right. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? Quick question for JP. Who do you see winning the fight this Saturday night with Adrian Broner and Pacquiao?
Pacquiao.
And then also, I got another Okay, and I got another big question for all of y'all. My friend, who used to be a Redskins fan, but now turns to become, he became a Eagles fan, and he said, he asked
"How convenient!
Question,
said, after the, right after, right when the Eagles win the Super Bowl, I'm guessing.
Right? When did he cross over?
He crossed over for the playoffs when Nick Foles became the quarterback.
Right. What
perfect timing!
Bandwagon jumper, your friend is. You know what? He's probably not a real good friend.
Well, this is the question he came up with. He said, what happens if the Redskins and the Philadelphia Eagles, the Eagles keep Nick Foles,
yeah,
but they trade Carson Wentz, 3 first-round picks, and the third-round pick to the Redskins. Do you guys see that happening?
No, not a million years. How about this? Impossible.
The Eagles already said they're keeping Wentz.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, thank you. Thank you.
That's the end of that.
Solves that.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy.
I mean, Manny Pacquiao's fighting Adrian Broner. I watched a little.
And Broner's
of the
a wacko,
access.
Right? He's gotten all kinds of legal trouble.
Yeah, I think I saw.
Is he like assaulting people?
He had 2 assault cases that were in different cities.
Is he like assaulting women?
On the same day. I think there might have been one sexual assault allegation.
Yeah. Yeah, one was on the same day. 2 different locations.
He's one of those guys where boxing got him out of trouble early as a kid when he was, 11, but it's still in him. You know what I mean? Like, he's constantly getting in trouble.
Yeah, he sounds like a nice guy.
I think he has a sex tape.
Great talent.
Oh, does he? Yeah.
He's a great talent, but he's known to kind of quit in the ring.
Who's the boxer? Is it Mosley or somebody? The guy, John Skipper. I was reading about this yesterday. So John Skipper used to be the president of ESPN. Mm-hmm. But remember then he supposedly resigned because he had a problem with cocaine?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he apparently went to rehab or whatever, got his life in order, and then 6 months later, he teamed up with the Zone. It's called DZN or something like that, and he's like the president of this company that's basically like a streaming. They're like streaming sports all over the world, and they have a small footprint here in the United States. Boxing is going to be their big thing, and they gave this boxer I've never heard of $365 million.
You've heard of him? They gave Canelo Alvarez the money.
Oh, I don't think it was Alvarez.
Canelo.
Are you sure?
Canelo's their big fighter.
Hold on. They gave him $365 million.
I thought it was a Mosley guy. Mm-hmm. No.
Well, it's like a 10-fight contract.
Yeah, yeah, right. But still, I didn't think it was Canelo Alvarez.
It's Canelo.
Yeah.
But how do you spell that? They pronounce it the Zone, but it's like
D-A-Z-N.
Yeah.
I've seen it's Michael nubs. Buffer doing the commercials on TV.
The fight
for
which
it.
I'm intrigued by this weekend, for whatever reason, I think I don't have ESPN Plus
Canelo
right now.
Alvarez.
I think I'm going to pay for ESPN Plus because ESPN is now in the UFC business. And UFC is going to put some of their events on ESPN Plus. So when they have, I don't think all of their pay-per-views, but some are going to be on ESPN Plus. And so there's a big championship match, which I'm somewhat intrigued by, which is TJ Dillashaw against another guy. They're small guys. But I'm intrigued by Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy's making his UFC debut.
I'd watch
Greg
that.
Hardy, he'd probably pummel somebody.
He's killing guys.
He's training with one of the top teams. I think it's America Top Team, where they have him, they say, in a dorm. Like, he's committed. He's staying in a dorm room for a guy who's made a bunch of money in the NFL. Now, I don't know how much money he has left.
Yeah, I don't know how much.
It's not like he had this long career, and I'm sure he has all kinds of legal bills. But they say he's staying in a dorm room smaller than an actual college dorm room to stay there and live the life with that America Top Team, which has great talent. Mm. He thinks he can rise to be heavyweight champion.
That guy's psycho.
Well, I won't be watching that or paying for any of those fights, but I will be watching. I told my wife, I said, 6 o'clock on Saturday, Duke and Virginia play.
Right.
And she's got family coming over.
Okay.
And I said, they're coming over for dinner. I said, well, dinner's either going to have to be at 4 or at 8:15.
Right.
Because I'm not going to be talking to your family.
I'd lean towards 4
during
the
Duke-Virginia game.
You won't do TV dinners.
Well, she wants to order Lido's pizza. Lido's!
Well, who doesn't like Lido pizza?
I love it.
Love Lido pizza.
But I don't want to have to, I'll be distracted if they're over at 6 o'clock and we're eating pizza.
By the way, Greg Hardy made $18 million in his career. So who knows what he's got left of that. Let's go to Mike in Fairfax. Mike, what's up, man? You're all with the Junks. How are you, buddy?
Doing well. How are you boys doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. What's up?
So I have a bone to pick with you, Dick.
All right.
What were you doing on Tuesday's show, talking about True Detective and talking about the details about the guy's wife? I mean, I get it. You know, you made your $1 million ruining various television and movies by talking about the ending.
I don't know what I said. What did I say that ruined the True Detective?
You were talking about how the wife wrote the book and, like, whored the detective and got all the details out there in the public. And, you know, it just it ruined it. I was thinking about everything you were saying
we
when I was
give any,
no, hold on. JP, I think, okay. said that.
By I don't way. Know if that was Bickle. By I think way, it might have been me.
If we gave away any details,
yeah,
guess
why are you
what?
Blaming
There's still
me?
Another six or seven episodes left.
I've only seen one episode.
Nobody knows who did it.
I only seen one episode.
Not one junkie knows who did it. Do you know who did it?
No, I don't know who did it.
So what did we give away? In the end, what did we give away?
So then why don't I just not watch any of them and wait till the last one, and then I'll watch that, and then I'll know who did it.
Come on. We didn't give away.
No, but you're accusing us of giving away something. We're just discussing a show as it airs week to week.
Did you already see it?
I know, but it had only been out for 2 days. You were even talking about how since you can stream these shows, it makes it so much easier to watch it and absorb the content in a much easier way. And so when it's only been out for 2 days, you can't talk about the details of the show.
That's not true.
Okay.
So hold on. If something airs now, you have to wait weeks before you can talk about it?
This is what you know.
When are we allowed to
talk
about details at the end of the episode? Yeah.
You know that we like the show, correct?
Correct.
All right. You know that we're not going to wait a week to talk about it. We're probably going to talk about it either that Monday or that Tuesday.
So are you saying now, this isn't over, this isn't even like a Netflix
show. We did that for season one and season two.
DC Metro listeners, don't listen to the junkies for a couple days if you haven't watched True Detective. Let's get those ratings down.
All right, did you watch both episodes?
Why so angry? He's very angry.
I did watch both episodes.
All right, well.
Then what do you care?
Yeah, but you already saw
them. I didn't watch it till last night.
All right, but hold on. That's on you. And by
yeah,
the
that's
way,
your fault.
So we have to
Once
wait.
Again, we didn't give away who the killer is.
You know what? After
we
the Super
know.
Bowl, we'll talk about
that,
it on Wednesday
so
everyone can watch it.
Television show until he
what
watches it.
What day are we allowed to talk about it?
Correct.
If you were the producer of the show, what day are we allowed to talk
An
about
over
it?
An over-the-air so broadcast.
Episode 3 airs on Sunday night. When can we
Cable
talk about
broadcast.
It next?
For my best.
Thursday, Friday.
I get if it's like a Netflix show and all of a sudden one guy binges all 10 episodes and you blurt out everything. You know, it just came
or
out a day before.
It's the opening weekend of a movie like Gone Girl and you give it and you give away the details on opening weekend.
No, but if you're talking about a weekly show and you're just right, talking about right. the first episode,
it's ridiculous.
It just aired.
You know what?
Normal.
I bet you Mike is a younger person who's not used to waiting a week to watch another
is that
episode.
What it is?
Yeah.
He can't handle
he can't,
this
he
dynamic.
Can't ha- he can't
well,
handle
he also,
waiting.
He likes to watch it at his convenience,
right.
obviously.
Exactly.
So he
like
wants
Netflix.
Us to wait until he's watched it. How the hell?
I don't care about him.
Yeah.
But you know what? Keep listening to the show.
Yes, please do.
I don't care if he does.
Well, he's starting a hashtag. Don't listen to the junkies.
Yeah, it's going to be the next hashtag fire Bruce Allen.
Yeah, sure.
Because that was so effective.
I mean, actually, we should start that hashtag. Fire the junkies.
Look,
only benefit
if you
us.
Know for a fact that we watched the show and we've been talking about True Detective for years since the first season, you know that it comes out on Sundays. You know that we all watch it. Okay, you can't expect us to keep quiet for 3 days.
Right.
Well, let me ask you a question.
I mean, I feel bad that I miss it on Sundays because I know you guys want to talk about it on
well,
Mondays.
We give a grace period. I feel like
we do.
A one-day race
there.
You don't have to, but it's nice as
what if
enough
somebody
that you guys do it.
Records a game and then doesn't watch it 2 days later?
Well, that's what I just said. We shouldn't talk about the Super Bowl on Monday.
And by the way, we're not giving away anything. We couldn't know
less
about
anything.
What's happening
we're
in the show.
We're discussing the episode.
I will say this. You guys don't do a very good job of giving people, like, 10 seconds to, like, punch out for a few. You guys just blurt things out sometimes without giving people the opportunity to not want to hear it.
Okay. So whatever.
That's a big deal because if you like the show, like I already know what happened in that show, and I couldn't even plug my ears in time.
Well, listen, I've been with you guys.
I can't worry about that.
You also said you're not going to watch it.
Well, I know, but you care that it. You,
I can't worry about that. I can't worry about people who haven't seen it yet. I can't guess. I can't know. I just don't.
I know. Of course, you can't. So you give
them
a heads up. Say, hey, we're going to talk about True Detective here for 1 minute.
I don't even think about that.
I don't think we gave away anything. Nothing really happened
Mike.
On episode 2.
I haven't seen episode 2 yet. I have no. All I know is JP and those guys said it was slow. It wasn't as good as episode 1.
Well,
That's
I never
I
saw
know.
A Star is Born because you just blurted out the guy hung himself in the garage.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. I've never
did
seen
not.
It. How do I know that?
I did.
Yeah, I did
yeah,
not.
It wasn't
a dark ending takes a turn for the worse.
A dark ending.
Belt.
Oh, by the way, it's the fourth time it's been made.
Right. The guy dies at the end.
You saw the one made in 1936?
No, but it was made.
I saw the one made in 77.
It's not a secret.
None of you guys saw any of those.
Chris Christopherson.
It's an 80-year-old movie.
99% of the people who saw that movie had no idea he kills himself.
No, just you, dumbass. You're the only one.
Everybody. Everybody was Rick. Jeez. He blurted it out one day.
Oh, who cares?
That movie everybody been out was for 2 Rick. Months.
Everyone was
no,
Rick.
No, it hadn't. It had been out for 10 days.
No.
And I said a dark ending. That doesn't necessarily...
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Doesn't mean...
Generally means death.
Yeah.
I don't know if it necessarily means that.
Who cares?
Exactly. I don't care if you've seen it at all. Listeners, if I want to talk about it, I'm going to talk about
listeners
it.
Listeners are still Rick. Jason blurted out the ending of The Departed.
Yeah, I mean, what was that, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you should do that for a movie on opening weekend. That's
yeah,
totally 15
different. Years later, you're good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. This thing has a minimum 6 episodes left, and it's a whodunit, and we didn't give away whodunit.
Right.
Because none of us know.
I can tell you for a fact, next Tuesday, we're going to talk about episode 3.
I might talk about it on Monday.
There's your heads up right there.
Let's go to Robert. Robert, what's up?
Hey, Andrews Air Force Base.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm the guy that texted in and wanted to have my wedding on Master Saturday. I felt like
terrible idea.
I had to call in and defend myself here.
All okay. right, what is your rash? First of all, you're going to ruin the whole tournament.
Go ahead.
For yourself.
Why do you want to do it?
So it's not on a Sunday. It's just on a Saturday. I'll have ample TVs at the venue.
You think you're going to be able to watch
golf
it
that Friday afternoon? Yeah. No. We're not going to do a big ceremony. Ceremony is going to be 10 minutes. We're going right inside. We're not doing plated dinners.
You're not going to do speeches and the first dance and all
you're
that
gonna,
stupid
you're
stuff.
No. Pay attention
that is
to everybody.
That's nonsense.
Well, then everyone's going to be just food, so everyone's just going to be at the bar watching the Masters. They're not going to care about you.
They're doing food trucks.
I can tell you what. Your wife's not going to be happy.
Your wife's going to be destroyed.
I'm going to be Billy Payne.
Your wife
be Billy Payne in a green jacket.
Do you know how sized women get for their wedding day? And you want it to be based around the Masters?
You want it to be a bit. Hey, are you going to have azaleas as the centerpiece?
She's going to wear a ring of azaleas around her head.
Right.
You're
doing a bit.
You're gonna be serving people gyros out of food trucks.
Yeah, pimento and cheese is gonna be your dinner.
I've been to Masters for years. I've been collecting those plastic cups out of the garbage cans and recycling bins. Those are the cups. The entire wedding is going to be those cups.
Oh, gross.
So you just want to do it for the bit? You're just going to ruin everyone's weekend if you do that. I'm telling you.
Hey, what table are you at? Oh, I'm at Chinese Fur.
Don't be surprised if you're going to get a lot of declines.
Oh, I like the table names. That's smart.
That is smart. Now he's going to be your wedding planner.
You don't understand. This guy's going to power through and do it.
Does your wife care?
I ran it by her. She doesn't seem to mind that much. She said for photos, I can't wear the green jacket, but I can put the green jacket on afterwards. We're going to do pimento cheese sandwiches for finger foods.
Oh, so dumb. You're turning your entire wedding into a bit.
Is she a golfer?
She is not.
Yeah.
Are you a good golfer?
I'm a member at Army Navy.
Which one?
Hover around a 10 or 11 handicap. And,
he's all right.
I invited Lurch to play once. I know he loves the free rounds, but he had a shoulder problem.
You'd probably talk too much during the round. I couldn't do it.
Plus, I'm guessing I haven't played Army Navy. It's not as fancy as the courses.
It's pretty nice. Place.
It's a very nice course.
Army Navy in Fairfax
so
is better.
There's two locations. I particularly like the Fairfax.
Yes, I agree.
Layout a little bit better, but the Arlington is the nicer course.
The clubhouse,
27 holes at each location.
Awesome. Yeah. Well,
highly recommend.
Don't be surprised if you have about 8 people at the wedding.
That's fine as long as they golf.
Well,
you
golf,
guys should get an invite.
But you understand? It's just bothering me from the perspective of enjoying to watch the Masters. You're not going to be able to watch on Friday because, first of all, you got a golf bit planned. Don't you have a rehearsal dinner? You have to do that in the evening. I mean, I guess the evening won't screw up.
Coverage
your
goes until about 7.
Yeah, it's just, and Saturday, you're not going to be able to watch it.
Lurch did bring up a good point that there might be some people flying back on Sunday. So I might have to move it up to the weekend before, and I can still do the green jacket bit.
That's what you should do.
He just wants to do the bit.
He's desperate for bits.
The bit's not worth it.
Dude, do the bit
funny.
I'm going to do. When I die, we're playing this music at my funeral.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, this is what I'm coming down. This is what the wife is coming down the aisle to, obviously.
All right, Robert.
All right, see you later.
Best of luck. I'll bet against the length of your marriage.
Yeah.
Oh, she's going to be salty.
It's got to be doomed.
She's already salty.
It's got to be doomed.
Give me a break. All right, coming up next, we go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz here on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. It's Bish, Cake, CB, and JP on an open line Thursday. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067 is the number. You can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Line. Same number for the Thomas Creek Windows text machine. Standard message and data charges may apply. And you can tweet us at Junks Radio. Right now, we're going to dive into the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation. We'll start with a little Redskins news. We expected this, we knew this, but I guess it's official. The Redskins will keep Greg Minuski as their defensive coordinator. The last couple weeks, the Redskins have been linked to meetings with Greg Williams, Todd Bowles, Steve Wilks, all of whom had been fired as head coaches at season's end. But it appears that it's going to be Minuski who will come back for, is it season number three as the Redskins defensive coordinator?
I think so.
I think so, right?
Hey, my daughter's happy. She's tight with Minuski's daughter, so
right,
she won't be moving.
Isn't going anywhere. That's nice.
Chandler won't be moving.
It's just an awkward situation when they brought in so many other guys, clearly courting other D coordinators, and for whatever reason weren't able to come to agreement with any or even bring some of them in.
Did your daughter
assistants?
Your daughter should have done a bit where she started auditioning other friends
right in front of Greg Minuski's daughter. Yeah, it's a good bit.
Yeah, it's a solid bit. A
couple of assistants, of course, have left. Special teams coordinator Ben Kotwicka went to the Falcons. Apparently, Kirk Olivadotti, who's been a longtime inside linebackers coach.
Did he leave?
Requested and received permission to interview for a job as linebackers coach in Green Bay.
Did he already get that job?
Not sure if he got it, but it does seem like there's some movement there, but not at defensive coordinator.
So the only opening technically right now is a special teams coordinator, correct?
As far as I know.
I think so. There was some talk that Torian Gray was interviewing elsewhere, but I think he's still on staff. I think.
Yeah, I haven't heard
that. It's very hard to keep track of what's going on over there.
So, of course, you got two championship games on Sunday. The Rams face the New Orleans Saints. This is a rematch of a high-scoring game in the first game. Michael Thomas had 211 receiving yards. 211 yards. 146 came against Marcus Peters, corner. And apparently there's beef between Marcus Peters and Sean Payton. Here's a little of the background.
On him, one tell on Sean one. Payton, keep talking that shit. We're going to see him soon. You feel me?
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I like what he was saying on the sidelines, too. So tell him keep talking that shit, and I hope you see me soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
Hey, I don't blame the guy.
After the first game.
Didn't Peyton say publicly, like, we like that matchup, so we're going to challenge him all the time?
Yeah.
I got to understand a guy being a little defensive.
We like the matchup a lot.
Yeah. I got to understand a guy being defensive.
Well, Tlaib is better than Peters. So I don't know why they wouldn't put Tlaib on him.
Well, we had Charlie on. Charlie thinks they both stink, right? I think Charlie said that last week.
And Marcus Peters is just he's nuts. Just seems like a punk.
I don't blame him for being upset, though. If a coach publicly calling you out, I don't have a problem with
it. We didn't really call him out. He just said, hey, it's a good matchup.
So that was the plan. They were going to travel Marcus to him, and that was fine by us.
I know you, Jason. You'd be offended by it.
Well, you know what? Turned out to be a pretty good matchup for the Saints.
Yeah, but you'd still be offended by it.
Of course, Michael Thomas had 12 catches for 171 yards and a touchdown last week. Here's what Marcus Peters said this week.
How would you evaluate your season?
I think we ain't done yet.
But you personally?
I think we ain't done yet.
He sounds like a fun guy.
I'm sure he's likable.
Where's he from? The South or something? Like that accent.
He played at University of Washington.
Really?
He's probably from L.A.
Doesn't he have a weird? Oakland. Is it just me? Does he seem to have a weird accent?
Yeah, he talks.
He's got that L.A. That California
Oakland.
Accent.
Oh, that's an L.A. So
that's
Oakland
what it sounds
guy.
Like to
it's
me.
A West Coast accent. Okay.
There's also beef, apparently, between Antonio Brown and Bruce Arians and Emmanuel Sanders. Antonio Brown, who's all over social media. So Bruce Arians said, this isn't the Antonio that was drafted in 2010, called him a diva. Mm-hmm. And Antonio Brown responded, he didn't draft me. He drafted Emmanuel Sanders, same guy who missed rehab to go on networks to talk about me on a situation he have zero clue. Arians now wears Kango hats and glasses, but I'm a diva. Done seen it all. Then they say we friends. Stop lying. Emmanuel Sanders then responds.
That's what he tweeted, right?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm sure he didn't. Whatever, even if he said it, I'm sure it sounded better than the way JP just read
it. Well, there's no punctuation, and there's all kinds of misspellings. It's kind of hard to read.
Yeah.
And, you know, he writes, I'm a diva, I am a diva, right. Lion, L-I-E-N. There's not, right. You know, it's like a lurch text. No capitalization, no punctuation.
It's okay, he's not teaching people Shakespeare. Arians is
right. Arians might be a diva, too, because of whatever hat he wears, but he's right about Brown. He is a diva. And he's psycho.
Emmanuel Sanders then responds to Antonio Brown and says, you know damn well I didn't travel to L.A. to talk about you, fam. You tripping, yo.
Hey, maybe we should book Bruce Arians to get his side of the story. Oh, wait, maybe we shouldn't because he's a terrible radio interview.
Emmanuel Sanders went further on the tweet. I went to be an analyst in which you acting foolish was the topic, and I gave my analytical opinion. Get off the gas, yo. You did it to yourself.
Who's saying that?
That's Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders firing back.
Sanders is an analyst now?
A lot of times on NFL Network, guys are eliminated from the playoffs, or Denver didn't make the playoffs.
Didn't he pull a Chad Bickle and blow out his Achilles? He was salty.
He?
Yeah, salty.
And finally, I don't remember this player by name, former NFL player Tony Beckham.
This is a good story.
Made the tackle of his life in Florida this week, clobbering an intruder. Who was allegedly hooking himself outside his 15-year-old daughter's window.
He had his pants around his ankles, and he was doing the motion.
Beckham, who was a defensive player for the Titans and the Lions, 2002 through 2005,
I don't remember him.
Inside his Palm Beach County home just before dawn on Monday, and he heard a noise.
Pants on the ground, pants on the ground.
It's horrible.
He told the TV network, I waited for a second. And I looked again, and I see a white male, and he's standing by my window, and he's trying to get in a better position.
You are looking like a fool with your pants on the ground outside the house.
Peeping into his daughter's bedroom.
It's hurting.
You know, his pants were down, and he was
doing it.
Trying to take care of himself.
Freak. And Beckham pummeled him?
Pummeled
him. Went on tackle.
That's awesome.
He said he's never going to come back around this side of town again.
You should see the mugshot.
But he basically broke the dude's face.
Good.
Gave him a black eye, multiple broken facial bones.
Is that really common, though? Like,
it's definitely not common.
Like, how many arrests are there for peeping Toms?
I don't know.
Can't be many.
It can't be many,
this guy's eye got crushed. Look, he just looks like a freak.
Oh, he got pummeled.
Good for you, Tony Beckham.
And then what did he do? Did he hold him down until the police came? Did somebody call the police?
Probably, yeah.
Is that what happened?
You know what? The story doesn't even really talk about it. I guess he's been charged with lewd, lascivious behavior with the victim younger than 16.
My eyes are going crazy.
$1,500 bail.
Mm. It's only $1,500 bail for doing that?
That's it?
Gonna be out there again.
It seems kind of
put
light.
Him in jail for 5 years.
Did you ever catch that serial groper that was going around the neighborhoods here, like in Virginia? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, sure. I saw that
he was
story.
Going to the stores, and he was like grabbing chicks' butts and all that. Remember, I think they caught that guy.
The story that grabbed my attention in the last few weeks was the local guy, who was putting the tiny hidden cameras in the dressing rooms all over Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
Right. Catching got like over 100 of them.
Yeah.
Did he work in one of the stores?
No, he had like a little micro camera. He was like a bartender, in Alexandria or Arlington.
Yeah.
And he's just a grade A creep with a little tiny camera that he had hooked up to his Bluetooth and was just watching girls, teenagers, moms undress, trying on clothes at Forever 21.
I remember it is open line Thursday. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.